Hey, Alex.
What, Tad?
Let me tell you about Nintendo RPGs, the secret video game genre. So, Alex, for some reason, thinks Nintendo RPG is a bad name for a genre when
It
roguelikes
is.
exist. Okay, I'm also going to have you know right now, Alex, first-person shooters were called Doom clones for a while.
Okay. Shut the fuck up for a second. The difference between calling like a Doom clone or a roguelike is you're comparing, or a Metroidvania, is you're comparing it to a game or two in the case of the Metroidvania. You don't say Nintendo RPG because it sounds like the company owns that. It sounds like
Well,
an
here's the
RPG
thing.
made by Nintendo. That's a bad title.
There is a very, very sharp difference between a quote unquote normal RPG and like every RPG game that Nintendo has actually put out outside of that shitty Fire Emblem game that I've literally never heard anyone talk about, except for the fact that like you can't see one of the girls' titties in like a scene or something. It was like the Fire Emblem crossover
Yo,
with
is
like.
Fire Emblem bullying going to be our new Homestuck meme? Like where we mention Homestuck every episode, we're just going to bully Fire Emblem every episode
Okay, Alex,
now?
go ahead and defend SMT like versus Fire Emblem.
Here's the
Give me a
thing.
single good thing about that game.
I never played it, so I have no opinion on it.
Exactly, you gotta make me and just shit on things.
No, dumbass.
No, that game sucks. Okay, here's how I know it sucks. I've literally never heard anything about it ever, like since it came out. I honestly didn't even know it was released. I thought it got canceled.
Now, to be
Anyway.
fair, that is actually a pretty good way to judge if something's good or not, because the voices of the people, kind of give you a general idea of what people think about shit.
Yeah. Anyway, the actual reason we're doing this episode here is Nintendo, for the most part, does RPGs different than the typical, JRPG. I'm gonna start from like the 90s or whatever the fuck. Like, when you think RPG game or JRPG at least, you think like, oh, Final Fantasy. You got your dudes. You go through your menus. You deal your damage. Good music, huge big world, interesting story, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oops.
And this is the first, at least that I'm aware of, like really popular Super Mario RPG. It was the Super Nintendo game. I want to say it. Okay, it's definitely the first Mario RPG. That's for fucking sure.
That's why it was titled that.
Yeah, Super Mario RPG: The Legend of the Seven Stars, and it was Square Enix and Nintendo teamed up to make an RPG. And Square Enix was like, okay, normal RPGs are kind of boring. Mario is a kid's game. Let's do something to make this a little more interesting. And so they added timed hits. And you better watch out, because this guy knows about timed hits. And so timed hits in that game, that was the introduction of like, Mario goes over and he punches something. You press the A button when he punches it, pop, pop. You press it twice and you punch him in the uppercut. It's like, oh man, that's awesome. That makes the combat actually fun and not just going through menus, taking damage. Taking damage. Okay, I took,
And
you
watching
know.
really long animations that you have no input over.
Yeah. Like, oh man, I took 600 damage from that attack. Then I pressed my button and he took 400 damage. All right, and then we just repeated that, and that's the end of it. Alrighty. And like, so they. And then, like I said, this is the first that I'm aware of. There was probably some obscure RPG that did this beforehand. But none of them were, nothing was near as popular as like Mario RPG that did that kind of action command style stuff. And Super Mario RPG, pretty fun game. I played it. I blew up my mom's laptop from Rent-A-Center when I was playing it because it overheated the computer and it short-circuited and there was like a loud crack and smoke came out of it. And then when we took it apart, there was literally like you could see like a black trail across the motherboard where we fucking killed their computer. But Mario
Great
RPG
job.
killed my mom's computer, and so for me, I like RPGs a lot. I shouldn't, but like I should. It's a genre that feels like it shouldn't be popular. It's kind of hard to explain that, but like. There's something about RPGs, like when you look at other video, like if you took like 3 steps back, say you're Klaxar and you're coming to Earth to peep some video games, you're like, oh, Cleethorpe, look at this game, Final Fantasy X. Well, this looks boring as shit. You just like sit there through menus and look at Shooty Man over here. You're running around, you're doing stuff. Look at Puzzle Guy over there. He's matching threes. Look at him go. Wowie, wow, whoa, whoa. And then you
I
get your
like how about
galactic
halfway through you
goo all
realize how
over
Rick and
everything.
Morty you sounded.
And then you get your galactic goo all over everything because you saw a fucking Super Mario RPG.
Well, I have a little theory based on absolutely nothing except for, you know, my own observations. But my little theory, parentheses game theory, of why JRPGs are so popular, outside of the character designs and, like, the simple stories to follow, well, simple, finger quotes, you know, usually simple stories, the combat feels rewarding because you kind of plan it out a little bit. It kind of gives you that reward of solving a puzzle in a puzzle game, where it's like, oh, hey, I was smart and stocked up a bunch of water elements for the fire land, and now I'm doing extra damage and shit. You know, damn, aren't I smart? You know, that little bit in your brain that makes you feel like, you figured it out, champ. Or, like, yeah, when you do, say, like, charge up enough of your fucking meter to do a limit break in fucking Final Fantasy, and you do that big animation, because you have to earn that, you feel like, damn, fuck yeah, look at me do all this damage, I'm the best. You have to work towards it.
I guess that's it. And then, like, it's just, like, looking from, like, a game mechanic standpoint, RPGs shouldn't be as popular. Like, you would think that they would be a less popular genre, just, like, based on gameplay. But, like, a lot of it just comes from, like, you know, other aspects into the game. And, let's see. I want to say there was two RPGs I played when I was younger, like, primarily. And that was Paper Mario and then Final Fantasy X. Final Fantasy X, I didn't know that was a bad game yet, so I was, you know, having fun incorrectly while playing it.
Yeah, that's one way you can look at it.
Like, Final Fantasy X is pretty much the only, like, straight-up normal JRPG I've ever, I've ever played to completion.
So clearly just this episode's, like, a great idea.
Well, okay, straight-up normal JRPG, who gives a fuck, like... Ugh. Like, I couldn't play. I was playing, I was staying at my brother Zach's house, and he had the remastered version for his Vita, and I was like, oh, hey, I don't know, I should give this a try again. And I'm like, it's pretty fucking boring. Like, JRPGs take forever and ever and ever, and I feel like it's hard for me to, like, stay with it if I'm not able to do anything for the majority of the game. Well, like, I'm just chilling there, you know, like, going through menus.
Well, actually, that's where the second part came in. See, I was talking about the gameplay earlier and subtract of the characters and story, but you stay involved outside of the gameplay segments because of the characters and story. Look at fucking Persona. Persona's, like, legitimately, like, out of the 100 or so hours I put in Persona 5, I'm pretty sure only 10 of that was actually fighting.
Jesus.
Like, I'm not even kidding with that estimate. Like, look at a fucking, I can't remember if I'm gonna say this, but look at a fucking, like, Persona 4 speedrun. Those things are 20, like, hours long, and my favorite thing is, I went on one, because I like to watch speedruns before I go to sleep, because they're really, because, really long JRPG ones are usually really boring and put me to sleep. You know, sort of offense. I would normally say no offense, but no, it's a little heat being thrown there. There was a split where right after he beat fucking the guy who was throwing people in the TVs, Tamayama, whatever his fucking name was. I'm sorry if I forgot off the top of my head. When after he beat him, the next split was an hour and a half from now, and that was entering the next dungeon. Or so it was killing the next dungeon boss. That was an hour and a half from there, and he was spamming X to skip through the cutscenes, and and he skipped every fight in, like, he could in that dungeon, and it still took him an hour and a half to get from point A to point B, because just that's how many, like, much, like, not gameplay there was. And that's the thing with especially more modern JRPGs, because you can fit more of these cutscenes in there, is that when you're outside of that gameplay, you're usually supposed to be engaged in the characters and the story, which is why if they're bad, even the good combat can't really save it, because majority of a JRPG is its story.
Yeah, and I was being a little jokey meme man about Final Fantasy X, but, like, I had fun with that game because, like, there was a lot of interesting aspects to it. Like, I was really young at the time, so, like, literally all of, like, the gratuitous ass shots and, like, all, like, the sexual tension between, like, Tidus and Yuna, like, it just, like, flew way over my head. Like, I just didn't even notice it. And so I was playing it because I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. Like, hey, look, there's, like, a lion dude. And even when I was, like, 8 or 10. I knew he sucked. I knew he was a garbage party member. Because I'm like, this dude does nothing. I'm just going to swap back to Waka and Aaron. One vivid memory. Okay, I have two vivid memories. One of them funny, one of them kind of serious. The funny one was, I would play, there was a mini game where you played Blitzball, which is like a shitty, shit Final Fantasy mini game. And the AI was, you could like spend all this, you could like upgrade the stats of all your Blitzball players, you could do a draft, you could do all this stuff. I won the tournament by getting a single goal and then going behind my own goal, so the AI broke and swum around in circles. Because it was fucking, it was like the hover final boss. The only way you can win is by cheating. It was so fucking dumb. And one of the things that really like made me push through to the end of Final Fantasy X was like, okay, what do you know about the Final Fantasy X story?
Okay, so I actually myself have recently started playing it. I have the remake over there for my PS4. I just stopped to play like Chrono Cross and fucking like hover and then Hollow Knight and shit. So I'll get back to it eventually. But what I know about the story is that you play as Tightass, who got sucked through like a fucking wormhole in time and is from his futuristic city with Auron, and now you're in some fucking weird past shit, which I'm 90% certain is actually the future question mark. You meet up with Waka. He's like, hey, bada bing, bada boom, get that owl bed out of my room. And so, and so him and Lulu, who totally are gonna fuck at some point, are like, hey, we should hang out with Tightass and go on like an adventure to figure out where he's from and get his memories back, because he's totally lying about what he is. And he doesn't know anything. He's like, hey, I'm from Xanarkin. And they're like, don't say you're from Xanarkin, please. And he's like, yeah, but I'm the star player of the Xanarkin Abes. And like, basically the story is about him and his fuck team trying to get him back to the past that where he belongs, much like Samurai Jack with Jack. And also Auron's a ghost.
Yeah, like the main story is you go along on this pilgrimage with Yuna. She goes to all these temples, and like the thing that really like made me like, huh, whoa, hold on a second. Now I'm interested in this game. Was when I realized, okay, so did you ever get to the part with Tidus's dad?
Which one? You mean one of the various flashbacks of his dad treating him like shit?
Yeah.
Like, you can't,
okay, now here's the thing.
You, with a woman, you can't even catch a ball.
I was listening, I was like, wait a second. This dude both acts and looks like my actual father. But hold on a second. No joke. I'm like, huh? Yeah, no. Yeah, pretty much. Even like leaving Tidus and like going to fuck off. I was like, really made me think.
So you're telling me that you're like the one guy on the planet who actually identifies as Tidus?
Yep. Put that on my fucking gravestone. I, Tad Becker, identify as Tidus from
Tad,
Final Fantasy X.
You, with a woman, you can't even host a podcast.
I can't even upload an episode on Wednesday. But anyway, like, I enjoyed Final Fantasy X. It was pretty neat. I didn't beat the game legitimately. Or maybe I did once, I don't remember. But I do remember using a Game Shark and gave everyone their ultimate weapons, but they were equipped on the wrong characters. Like, Tidus would throw the... Because you could, if I remember correctly, there was cross equipment. Like, I could have Tidus equip a Blitzball.
Well, it makes sense, because he's a Blitzball player.
Yeah. Like, he would, like, I would use the Game Shark, and everyone have, like, really fucked up weird weapons, and they would deal, like, no damage. But, anyway. And then the other game I played a lot during this time was one of my favorite games of all time, Paper Mario. And Paper Mario was the sequel to Super Mario RPG, which is on the, you know, the Super Nintendo, and Paper Mario's on the N64. And Paper Mario's had like a whole fun, interesting development thing where the reason Paper Mario exists is the N64, they're like, hey guys, you know, we're using cartridges which are much, much smaller. We don't have very many RPGs on our system because, you know, like PlayStation and Dreamcast had a fuckload. They had all of them. And that reason was because they had DVDs. You could put a fuckload of information on a DVD. You can't put that much you can't put that much on an N64 cartridge. Like, it just ain't gonna work. And it's like, okay. How can we do this? Let's make an RPG that works with this. Like, okay, sprites. I mean, sprites, you know, that can work. All right, let's just keep brewing this over. And then one of the I forget who it was. I want to say it's Miyamoto. That's probably wrong. I think it was Iwata. Was like, hey, look at this concept art that me and the team made, and it was like a diorama of Yoshi's Island. They're like, holy shit, that looks awesome. And then that's like where the paper thing came out of. And it was actually after Parappa the Rapper came out. So a lot of like review like sites at the time were like, hey, you know, this game's got an art style very similar to Parappa the Rapper. And when you look at it, like, Parappa the Rapper looked like shit in comparison, like the way they animated like all the characters.
Wait, because they were actual models, not sprites like in Paper Mario. So like there were Mario, models that were made sprites. Flat, and they still made them like animate and stretch around and look kind of weird sometimes. As opposed to Paper Mario, which were just sprites that were just animated and had a paper like art style to them.
Yeah, and the reason I really liked Paper Mario was, number one, it had Mario on the cover, and number two, like, it like hooked me right from the start, because I'm like, oh shit, I'm talking to Goombas. That's crazy. That's wacky. They're taking all these established characters and, well, that's like, whoosh. That's the sound of me spinning around and then doing the Mr. Krabs. Whoo! They're giving them, like, their own village and all this weird stuff. Holy cow. And, like, that hooked me from Paper Mario at the start. Also, the fact that, like, random enemies would be your party members, which was fucking sick, is still fucking sick. I don't know why other games don't still have that, like, as, like, a thing. Like, it's not a thing. I don't understand why RPGs don't do that more often. Where you have, like, a variation on some kind of enemy join you as an ally. It doesn't have to be, like, a deep, complicated reason. Just have, like, if there's a golem, give me, like, a fucking gargoyle or something. Like, come on, is that fucking hard?
Give me a gargoyle, but he has like a little hat on.
Yeah, give me like a guard. Like, you know, they've got stone golems that are all rounded and shit, or there's like a bunch of gargoyles, then you get one that's all rounded because he's not fully chiseled yet, you know, something like that. But anyway, the combat in Paper Mario, if you've never played it, is similar to like the Super Nintendo one, where you have timed hits. You know, you jump on an enemy and you press A and you bounce right up in the air. Wow, whoo. And another really important thing is that it's kind of like RuneScape in a way, where if you dealt 13 damage in RuneScape or Paper Mario, that was a fucking mind-numbing amount of damage. Like, holy shit. That's a lot of damage. When you look at a game, even the Super Nintendo Mario RPG had this problem too, where RPGs all have this issue where there's a huge amount of inflation. You know, you start the game, you do 50 damage of the hit. You end the game, you do, like, 27,000 minimum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really just, like, to be like, whoa, man, look at how much crazy damage I'm doing. You know, I think it's just something that hits that. And then Paper Mario, like, they just kept, they're like, okay, we're making an RPG, it's intended for kids. Let's just dumb everything down to like the most essential fun parts, and then spend the rest of that time making like, you know, a really unique art style and like super like taking established locations and enemies and making fun stuff out of them, and more importantly, giving you active things to do in combat. There's never a round in Paper Mario you're not blocking an attack, doing some kind of button command like holding your hammer back, boop boop boop. Bam, letting go of the control stick and smacking an enemy with a hammer. Shit like that. It makes combat, like, the worst thing in an RPG to me, the thing that will make me drop that shit harder than a sack of potatoes, is fucking having to grind. Any game that makes me grind, even, like, the smallest amount, like, I stopped playing Citizens of Earth because it made me grind for, like, maybe two levels, and I just dropped the fucking game.
Well, then you'd fucking love Chrono Cross because you actually can't grind in Chrono Cross. Because Chrono Cross's level system is, they're called star levels, where you get a star level for beating a boss. So essentially, you only level up based on your progression through the game. You can get small stat ups as you go. Like, I think like 5 fights maximum between things, you can get 1 extra HP. So you can get 5 whole extra max HP and maybe 1 to 2 strength or like 1 magic resistance. You get a randomized stat like that, but it's never enough to actually make it worthwhile. You could go out of your way to, I guess, farm materials to craft like weapons and shit, but even that you don't really need to do. Like, Chrono Cross is actually pretty fucking easy because your main character's so goddamn overpowered. Like, you can take whatever thing you want. You can take fucking Skelly and Greco, and then Surge will just destroy everything anyway. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. None of this matters. Like, you'll just fucking, like, they'll come up there like, oh yeah, here we go. And Greco will, like, punch something for, like, 50 damage, 50 damage, 50 damage. You're like, damn, that was a lot of damage. Then Surge will come up and, like, three-shot something with 120 damage each swing, and you're like, oh yeah.
I'm glad we're here.
Fucking, but yeah. That game removed grinding out of the thing, which is a controversial thing, apparently, but I think it's a great idea. Because it one, you can't power level yourself up, but two, if something's hard, then you have to face it, with what you have. No bullshit.
Yeah, like that. Oh, actually, there was another RPG I played on the PlayStation 2 called Legacy of Gaia. It's been, no one's ever heard of this game. I can. There's gonna be one fuck man posting on YouTube. Oh yeah, no Legacy of Gaia. I know that game. It was really, really good. No, you don't. Shut up. The second boss in that game was like, okay, you know the skeleton guy from Persona that's like the gatekeeper of shitters?
Matador.
Yeah, he was like that.
Also, it's SMT actually, Tad, not Persona.
I don't give a shit. There was this monkey, and you were like leaving the you were leaving your like hometown, which is this nice like forest, and you go into this canyon. There's a monkey there, and the monkey would just like take four turns. I still don't understand how the monkey fight was supposed to go, but he would just take four turns and one shot all your party members. And so after trying this, like we were like, oh okay, let's go back. Me and my brothers were like taking turns grinding it up so we could go fight this monkey guy, and we'd go back. He would like two shot everyone. We'd still just fucking die. So we were like, okay. All right, okay, fuck this. And we just grinded, I think, for 2 days until we could just like three shot the monkey and go on to the next area. Anyway, but like, that's like, even in Paper Mario, like, you can kind of grind, but like, I think you get one. So it takes 100 star points to level up. When you level up, you can get three more HP or three more special, three more magic. Or three more badge points, and badges where you spend points to equip badges. And I was so impatient as a child that I didn't even want to grind in Paper Mario, because here's what I would do. So I wanted more HP, but I didn't want to grind for it. So here's what I would do, is I would level up and put points into badge, and then equip the badge that gave me three extra HP. I was not a wise child.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
Really does. It really truly made me think. But I mean, also, fun fact, I literally never owned a Paper Mario game until the year 2012. Because the first Paper Mario, I would go to Family Video and rent it for 5 days, and then rent it for 5 days, and then rent it for 5 days, and then rent it for 5 days. Or like, here's what we do. Here was a real sneaky thing we'd do. We'd rent some other game for like a day. Like, we rented Earthworm Jim, and then that game scarred me because, like, you had to whip the hamsters to get them to move, and I whipped one too many times and exploded into a bunch of bones and meat. And so I took the game back. I'm like, this game wasn't very good. I want to get Paper Mario. And then we discovered that you could rent a game for 1 day, come back and return it, get a different game for free for 5 nights. We called this Tetra Days at Tad's. Anyway, but what was I talking about? I was talking about some dumb shit.
You hate grinding in JRPGs.
Yeah, grinding sucks. Like, even in Undertale, when I did the genocide run, like I just got like a bot to make me run around in circles and automatically do the fights because I didn't feel like it, because it was like 19 fights a screen. I'm like, nah, fuck this gay shit. But that was intentional on Undertale's part. He did intentionally to be like, oh man, you're such a terrible person. How dare you want to do this thing? You're awful. You're an awful person. Look, you killed Sans Papyrus.
You killed the funny skeleton man.
You killed Lay Meme Skeleton.
I like how you just hate him now.
No, Alex, there's this thing called like jokes. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Nope,
The
never
fact
heard of
that I
him.
say Papyrus is a lay funny skeleton meme man, and also at the same time, like, I felt genuine remorse when I one-shot him, and like consider just restarting right there are both true statements.
I never actually did the genocide run, fun fact. I, much like you, I just didn't feel like doing it. I was like, yep, this is a lot of work, don't care.
I got up to Undyne, and I'm like, okay, this fight, like, these attacks are dumb. Like, I can get past this if I just grind it, but, like, I don't really care that much. Like, I already know what happens. Like, I know that there's the really cool Sans Undertale fight. Like, I'm not gonna beat that one if I get to it, so I'll just fucking end it.
It wasn't even a difficulty thing. I just didn't want to, like, much like you, I didn't want to grind. I was like, nah, I don't feel like it.
I don't really feel like it, Krabs, baby. Why don't you ask me later? And then Nintendo, and, you know, there was another RPG series that was coming out at the same time that basically, and I think these are the perfect video game, except for some, like, adjustments that could be made. And these are the Mario and Luigi series games. Every single one of these games is fucking perfect. The gameplay, all right, so for those who have been living under, like, a boulder, and, like, had their had like a fucking blindfold on and earplugs and have been in like a coma all underneath this rock and have never heard of Mario and Luigi. What they are is it's an RPG that they made for the Game Boy Advance. Once again, because there's no fucking RPGs for this thing. Let's go ahead and make one.
Well, there was so Golden Sun.
Don't mention Golden Sun. They don't like to talk about that game.
Okay.
I honestly have no idea why that dude's not in Smash. They're at the bottom. They're literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. There's only like three characters left for Smash: Goku, Isaac, and like
Bomberman,
Funky Kong,
Bomberman,
Funky Kong. But so the main gimmick was that it was an RPG where A controlled Mario and B controlled Luigi. And how combat would work is that you guys would go in there and they'd start dancing. They'd do their idle animations where they're like doing a little dance while you went to select them. You know, you'd scroll over, you'd hit the jump attack with Mario, you'd jump at an enemy, timed hits, you know, pow, pow. You hit him twice because you timed your jump well. And then Luigi would go, and you know, he would get a hammer. It'll go way, 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 way back. You wait till the very end and you smack him with the hammer. You know, you just timed it perfectly, then you hit him. And then they improved on the Paper Mario formula. Where in Paper Mario, an enemy would attack you, and your only option was to defend. Or if you were super, super good in The Thousand Year Door, which is the GameCube one, you could super guard, but let's not go into that. You would just guard, you know, instead of taking 5 damage, you'd take 3, you know? And then Mario and Luigi, they're like, hey, how about if you're good enough at dodging, you just straight up won't take any damage, or even counterattack. So like a Goomba gets ready, he runs towards you, and then charges you, and if you jump over it with Mario or Luigi, you press the A button for Mario, B for Luigi, and it was fucking awesome. Because you could just have a Goomba roll up and pow, you hit him. You know, and then there's bros attacks where it was just like they would both do stuff together, it would alternate between A and B.
Which is smart as fuck for timed hits.
Yeah, changed and also, up a little. Fun fact, you can play Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga with 2 players. You can co-op that game. If you put it into the Game Boy Advance thing for the GameCube, that thing that, like, you know, that really, really cool kid on your block had, but you never had.
Yes.
If you have that thing, you have 2 controllers. One of you could play as Mario, and one of you could play as Luigi. And, you know, Mario will always be in or, you know, whichever one's in front will move, but the other one can press, you know, the A button or the B button on their controller. And, the gameplay of these games are fucking perfect. You know, all the enemies have different tells. If you fuck it up and you get hit, you take a lot of damage. And, the biggest problem with these games, and what I think could be, like, this is the only thing, the only issue I have with the Mario and Luigi games. Well, originally they also had tutorials way out the ass, but, like, in the more, like, the past 3, you can, like, skip those. But end game, you have so much, like, magic power, you know, you have so many bros points that it becomes more efficient to fight enemies just by doing your bros attacks over and over and over again instead of, like, jumping or hammering or doing anything like that. Because it's like, okay, I can deal, you know, however much damage and go through a full round of combat, or I can do Paper Star and throw a shuriken at the bad guy and deal, like, 400 damage, you know? And even in Mario and Luigi, damage values are still pretty low. Like, end game, you have, like, 140 health. Like, when I played Dream Team, which was one of them where, like, Luigi would just, like, take a nap and he would go inside his dreams, I built Luigi as a crit machine, and then Mario as the tank. Because in the dream world, when you jumped, when in the dream world, you would only play as Mario because Luigi was asleep. You're inside his dreams. Mm-hmm. But like Luigi would help Mario while you did stuff. Like you would jump an enemy, you would pow, and then a bunch of tiny Luigis would fall on him. And if you're smart like me, you build out maximum stash, which is the crit stat, and then you crit like a fucking madman. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, you picking up what I'm putting down?
I mean, I just gave him a shitload of power. Because why go for a chance to do big damage? I can just always do big damage.
Well, if you're hitting with six Luigis every turn.
Well, okay. I didn't play the sequels. I literally only played the first one on Game Boy Advance.
I recommend every single one of the games. There is not a single Mario & Luigi game that is objectively bad.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
The worst one is the second one on the DS, which is Mario & Luigi Partners in Time. And even then, that's like pretty good. It's okay. It's not that bad. And then, like, the third one is probably the best. The one, Bowser's Inside Story, where you play as Bowser. And you can go over the overworld, and Bowser has two attacks. Breathe fire or punch. You know? I broke that game so hard, I ruined the final boss because I beat him in a single turn. And it, like, broke the game. Because I had an item that let Bowser take two turns. And I did so much fucking damage, I was able to just cheese the final boss because it's supposed to, like, you punch him in the gut, and then you cough up Mario and Luigi or something, and then he eats him, and then you go inside there as Mario and Luigi, and you punch the fuck out of, like, his stomach or something. I don't know, it was weird. Mario and Luigi games are fantastic. Anyway, so those were, like, the two main Nintendo RPG series, really the only ones. I just call them... There's other, like, kind of ones, I guess, like... I refer to a Nintendo RPG as any JRPG-styled game in which the majority of the gameplay and content you have input on. You're not, like... another one that's not made by Nintendo, but what I would call a Nintendo RPG is Child of Light by Ubisoft. It's an RPG where everything rhymes in the game. It's written like a storybook. It uses watercolors. It's phrased in the as like someone telling a story, like a bedtime story to someone before they go to sleep. And like the combat is there's you, and then let's say there's you, and then there's three enemies. On the bottom of the screen, there's a bar. It's a really, really long bar. Near the back half, there is a hit, and then there is a caution like section. As an enemy gets, like, they'll start winding up their attack, you know, they'll go across the blue, you'll see their speed, you know, their speed determines that, and then, like, there's a little bit of time delay before they hit their attack, and if you manage to get yours in there, you know, squeeze in there, you pop them, sends them way back on the timeline, you use your other party members, you just keep whacking them, and you just delay their turns forever and shit. It's really, really fun, because the entire combat, you're thinking, okay, because you have a fairy as well that can heal you or slow down an enemy on the timeline, so you're like, okay, I'm going to use this fairy here, 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 here. I'm going to hop between these dudes. I'm going to organize it so that my dudes are able to hit without getting hit while doing the attack phase. Because if they get hit while doing the attack phase, they get fucked and they get sent way back in the thing. And you have to spend 6 hours against the final boss like I did. Because I am going to use fucking Quetzal because he is really, really cool looking. He's like a big furry dude. He's got claws. He does a fuckload of damage. He's awesome. I like him, but he's too slow. Chrono Cross. So, okay, how does combat work in Chrono Cross? Or Chrono... No, yeah, it's Chrono Cross.
It's Cross. I haven't played Trigger. Everyone says Trigger's, like, the better one. And, like, the perfect RPG
ever. I have
played
Chrono Trigger. Oh, okay. Quick aside. All right. So there's two Final Fantasies I've played. I've only played 10, and I've only played 13. And Final Fantasy 13's combat, I thought, was like, whoa, hey, this is revolutionary. This is cool. Because you were going through the menus, but enemies were constantly, like, ducking and jiving, like, across the map, and if you timed your stuff right, you go in there as Lightning, you do a basic slash, she runs forward, she spins around in a big circle, you can hit multiple enemies with it. And I was like, oh man, this is so awesome! And then I realized, oh, Chrono Trigger did this on the Super Nintendo, like, a decade and a half ago. Never mind. Also, Final Fantasy 13, you had to go through six menus to do fucking anything.
So what happens in Cross is, you have your enemies line up, and... What the position there are doesn't really matter. Like, you can change your position, but even like you have like say your main guy in front, second guy in second, third guy in third, you can just hit left or right on the D-pad and just switch to the second or third person to go first anyway. Turns are based on action points instead. So like you have or stamina and action points. So you have 7 stamina baseline. So you can do, you run up and do an attack, you can pick from 3 different attacks. You can either pick one attack that'll hit, that has a really high chance of hitting, but does very little damage. Second that does a medium damage, a medium chance to hit. And then high attack that does a shitload of damage, but also a very low accuracy. But they also cost something. They'll cost 1, 2, and 3 respectively. You have 7 stamina to use. So you can use, like, do 3, like, heavy, 2 heavy attacks for 6, and then 1 light attack. And that'll be all 7 right there. You have options and input, like much like how you like. And say you land like you land an attack, then the accuracy of the next hit goes up a lot. So like to use all 7, you do like one like 2 1 attacks, 1 2, and then a 3. And like you'll do all of that shit, you know?
Yeah,
Then I'll
because
be
the
set.
lower ones, you just pop, pop, pop.
Yeah,
You
to
get your
raise your
aim
accuracy for the
down.
next ones.
Yeah.
There's
Or you go
also
balls to the wall, heavy attack, heavy attack.
If you can also get abilities like a Eagle Eye to raise your accuracy, so you can like say give it to Surge, the main character, and just have him do whip out those threes and just wreck everybody. But there's also the element field. So the way the magic works in this game is elements are just, the magic is just called elements. They're like consume. Well, they're not like consumable items, but they're kind of like you can buy them in bulk. Like Uplift is where is a yellow spell. Which you lift a big chunk of the earth out of the ground and smack somebody with it. That's not a unique spell to everybody. You can buy that at the store and give it to literally everybody. The way, like, people have techs, which are unique attacks to each guy. They have a level like 3, 5, and 7 tech. That's unique shit. Everything else, every other element you can just buy or find and give to literally anybody. And even, okay, so the way it works is there are a bunch of colors. There's red, blue, yellow, green, white, and black. Now, it's not like Pokemon where it's like a circle or anything. It's just red and blue hate each other, so red does extra damage to blue, and blue does extra damage to red. Yellow and green hate each other, white and black hate each other. White takes less damage from white, and that's it. Like they only take reduced damage from their own color, and they only do extra damage, and also take extra damage from the opposite color. So characters and enemies have innate colors. Like, Surge is innate white. So his attacks does white damage. He also takes reduced white damage and does more damage to black enemies. You know, you get the idea. So yeah, differently you have yellow, blue, red, green, party members, etc., etc. In the different spells. So the field effect is when you cast a spell, not when you attack, only when you cast an element or attack, there's three little like circles. The first one will fill up, and then you do the next one. The first one will move to the next square or the next circle, and then that next fill will be on the first one. And they move out into these three things. So, judging by how many colors that are filled in there, increases the power of those attacks and spells from the elements. So, say there's two blues on the field, blue characters and blue spells will deal a little extra damage. Also, if you get 3, that bonus goes up a lot. And the game tells you this by it shows like your star level next to it to show like, oh shit, you did it, boy. Like you get 3
Boy,
fucking
he about
whites on
to
the field.
do.
Wait, what?
I said, boy, he about to do it.
Yeah, he's about to do it. If you get 3 whites on the field, Surge will just like do 300 damage a swing. Like you don't even need to cast an element at that point. It's really sick how it all comes together. Also, you gain little like rogue like from World of Warcraft style combo points. I'm going to compare it to that for a lot of people. So like when you land one attack, that one damaging attack, you'll get 1 point. Three, you'll get 3. And so like how I said, level 3, 5, and 7 attacks. When you charge up those action points to like 3, 5, or 7, or you know anywhere in between, then you can now cast level 3, 5, or whatever spell. That's how that works. And there's more. I'm almost done, don't worry. Then there's also the element grid where you can like say like equip that uplift I mentioned, that spell that does like little damage, you just pick up the rock and throw it at him. You can say put that level 1 spell in the level 7 slot, so it'll be +6. So it'll do extra damage because now it's a way, now you're waiting way longer to use it. It's a more powerful variation. You normally would never do, you know, for that specific one, but it's just an example, you know? and shit like that. You can kind of mess around with the grid and mess around with the field and do a lot of shit you want to do. And the game actually kind of, despite the character in the game having 45 fucking party members, the most I've ever seen. Yeah, that is the most I've ever seen in JRPG. It's also the first and only one to do that, because that's a lot of work for not really a lot of payback, because some party members are a lot better than other, or better than others in, like, terms of character. Like, when you say Sneff, the weird guy, the toothless, like, gambler, parlor magician, that dude has, like, a story that you have to see. You have to do the main story and run into him and see, like, his thing. You don't have to do his side quest to recruit him, but, like, you're gonna be introduced to him, right? Then look at Greco, the luchador priest. As cool as that sounds, you walk up to him in his house, and he's like, I sense a weird aura of death upon you. Please let me join you on your quest. And that's it. There's no side quest or anything. You literally just walk up to him and let him join you. And that's kind of the problem with Chrono Cross, where, you know, sure, there's 45 characters, but a lot of them aren't really characters.
See, but that's also in that game, oh shit, what was it called? I was just talking about it earlier. I dropped it because it was making me grind. Hold on a second.
Well, while you're thinking, I had one last thing, which was, what I liked about the game, despite having so many party members, is that you do have a lot of freedom to actually experiment with them, but that's only because the main character is so overpowered, you could literally bring anybody. As long as you keep him healed and keep the field to his color, he'll just kill everything. Like, it's like, I was running Skelly, the little skeleton clown, and Greco, the luchador priest. Both of those members are pretty not great. Skelly has really low health, and Greco doesn't really do that much damage despite being a strength guy. But I just gave him a lot of white spells, so they just fucking make the field white, and then just Surge will just come up and just smack him and kill everything. The game also has a really sick twist halfway through. I'm not done with it, but I'm getting there, and I fucking love it. The game's actually really good. It has a lot of flaws with how, like, enemies have action points and shit, and, like, can break up your, like, combo and things. But I look past that because I'm biased and I'm just really enjoying the game. The music's good. I love all the party members. Like, I like the game a lot. It's really fucking fun.
Regarding the party members that you were talking about, Citizens of Earth is another game that I know of that has a shitload of party members. And just like you said, some of them you see. Because Citizens of Earth, the main characters, you're the vice president of Earth. You don't participate in combat at all, but your charisma and wit will recruit pretty much anyone you talk to be in your party. And then some of them, like the conspiracy theorists, there's like a whole little mini quest there that you're forced to do. And then there's other characters like the weatherman or the weatherwoman that are just like there. And Citizens of Earth, it's kind of like how you spend those points. You'll do attacks in Citizens of Earth. Everyone starts with like 0 points or something. I think it depends on whatever their abilities are, but like you'll use an attack that has like an element associated with it, and it will give you like +1 orb or +2 orb, and then you spend those orbs to do like other attacks, like the hobo. His +1 is you scrounge, and what that does is it gives him a small chance to find a healing item, and then like he gets like +2 orbs. You can, you know, like, you know, you do that, you do some shitty attack to give up your orbs.
Yeah, sorry, life is happening today.
And then you do, like, his whole gimmick was, he taunts people to hit him, and then, you know, like, they lose damage and stuff like that, because they feel bad for beating him up. Like, so he has, like, you know, you do his scrounger on for healing items, get himself buffed up, and then, like, you taunt the enemies, and then, like, the lower on health you are, I think, the less damage they do. Or so, it was something like that. It was some combination, but you build up your orbs and you spend them to do stuff like that. That's how Citizens of Earth goes, and it has a fuckload of party members. And every one of them has some outside of combat use. Like the car salesman, you get to drive a car around and just run over enemies. There's a whole bunch of RPGs that have kind of ditched that style. And like, let's not even talk about West, like WRPGs. Well, let's not even talk about Western JRPGs, because that's a whole... Because, like, that's a whole huge thing. You've got, like, a million FPS MMORPG games.
Well, you just wanted to specifically talk about the turn-based style of RPG, most of which are JRPGs. I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of WRPGs that are turn-based that we just can't think of off the top of our heads because we're losers.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch. Like, you know, there's the big open world ones. But I can't go into WRPGs because that's like a huge fucking topic. But basically, I want to complain about Paper Mario a little bit more to finish this off.
Sure, sure,
And,
sure.
all right, trigger warning, controversial opinion. I really liked Super Paper Mario.
That was the Wii
It
one,
was,
right?
yeah, it was the one that was, it ditched the turn-based format. And it only had it was definitely more action platformer than it was RPG. Because here's the thing about Paper Mario. It's always been in a kind of weird state. Nintendo has never needed to have Paper Mario after like the N64. Like there was RPGs on the GameCube. You know, you didn't need a Paper Mario on there. And then the Wii, you know, the Wii had like Xenogears and shit like that, like or Xeno Clash stuff, I don't remember. Xenoblade. Xenoclash is the first person beat 'em up.
Yeah, that's that game that I love to death.
Yeah, like, so Super Paper Mario, they were just like, and this was the start of a bad direction. Hoo boy. Like, Super Paper Mario, I loved it. It had a really, really good story. It had some super, super fun, creative levels. Like, there was a level where you go into a mansion, you think, oh, it's gonna be a haunted, spooky mansion or something. Like, I got here after crossing this big, spooky bog. And then you go in there and you get trapped by one of the bad guys. And you have to like buy your way out by getting rubies, and you could run, you could generate power to get
But you
like
gotta
a
find the
ruby every
secret room to
second.
get like double the rubies.
Yeah, like you go and you do this whole like prison break style thing to get a billion rubies to pay your way out, and then just go fight the boss. And you know, it had Francis, it had all that good shit. It had really, really fun areas like the underwear and the over there, like. Really, really, really unique, fun areas, and like I thought it was a really fun game. It wasn't a good. Here's a little classic descriptor. It's a great game, but it's just not a great Paper Mario game.
Oh my god, he's saying that shit. Now, I played it with you. I really like Super Paper Mario also, but I agree with you immensely where it was the start of bad decisions, because after that we got fucking Sticker Star.
And oh my god, Sticker Star. Okay, so there was a very, very long while where there just wasn't any Paper Mario. You know, Super Paper Mario came out and people thought, like, okay, is this the death of Paper Mario? Like, there's no reason that they ever need to make one. And like the 3DS comes out and like, oh well, there's not gonna be a Paper Mario on that. You know, that's Mario and Luigi's domain. They've always been the handheld ones. And so E3, wham bam, Nintendo takes its dick out. Hold on a second. I was gonna get a piece of paper and flip it on the table, but just imagine you hear that crinkle. Gets it on the table, boom, Paper Mario, and like people went ape shit because holy shit, Paper Mario! You know they showed an early build of the game where Mario had a chain chomp partner. It was a fucking chain chomp, and like they showed all this really cool shit. They showed all this great like, oh man, they had this super super unique art style where everything was made out of like cardboard. It looked like a diorama, and it popped out in the 3D from the 3DS. And then it took a turn. So, like I said, Paper Mario's always been in this weird spot where it's never been needed. Like, so they're like, okay, well, here, we're gonna take Sticker Star and we're gonna make it like a puzzle game. Oh, but people really, really like the combat for some reason, so let's half-ass that, I guess.
Let's
Whatever, who
half-ass that, I
cares?
guess.
Yeah, fuck it, whatever, who cares? And like, Sticker Star was really, really good in every department except for gameplay. The music, fucking 10 out of 10. The visuals, 11 out of 10. The humor, 12 out of 10. Okay, environments, pretty fucking lame because you went to like a desert, a forest, a jungle, and like a mountain, and like an ice place, and that was it. And then you went to Bowser. But like that was pretty lame. But I kind of give them a pass on that just because they were just starting out with like, they just came up with the idea for this like art style. Like, water was just like paper. Like there was no real depth to it, but like if you fell on it, you know, like water droplets would come out like in the form of paper. I give them kind of a pass on like the boring environments because they're like, hey, I wonder how a volcano would look up, you know, made out of cardboard and charcoal and shit like that. And I already talked about in the Hover episode how the final boss of Sticker Star was the actual worst boss I've ever seen in a video game, just from a design standpoint. But Sticker Star was like, I don't think anyone really enjoyed it. I played it for a while and I was pretending to have fun with it. And then I got to like the fire area and I'm like, I'm not having any fucking fun with this at all. They did learn. I will leave on a hopeful note. I recently, somewhat recently, played Color Splash, which was the sequel one for the Wii U that came out like last year. And that game, actually really fun. So so Sticker Star's gimmick was you pick up stickers from the environment and then you use them in combat, or you use them primarily to solve puzzles in a very bad way, because you need very specific stickers to solve very specific puzzles in a very unfun way. But what Color Splash did is they kind of had it. You would collect cards, you would fill them up with sticker, you'd fill them up with paint, and then you flip them up on the screen, and then you do the action commands and you hit the enemy. Also, I should point out, Sticker Star also dumbed the combat down even harder than Paper
Because you just
Mario
have the
did.
fucking like items. It was like that fucking Kingdom Hearts game on the Game Boy Advance that I hated.
Yeah, like here's the here. Let me give you a quick breakdown. And okay, so Paper Mario Combat is not that complicated. You choose jump, you choose hammer. You choose hammer, you gotta hit the enemy closest to you in the front. If it's a flying enemy, it's not gonna reach them. Jump, you choose whoever you want because you can jump over the air and hit them. Sticker Star, that's too complicated. Fuck that. Here, choose your stickers. So let's say you use a jump sticker. You have to jump on the first enemy. The next sticker you use is going to hit the second enemy. And the third sticker is going to hit the third enemy. I'm assuming you kill them. Otherwise, it's just going to like hit the front one if you use like a hammer. But and because of this, it dumbed combat down even further than like Paper Mario did from Super Paper from like the RPG one on the Super Nintendo, which again, so you have like a normal JRPG like combat, and then you dumb it down to the Super Nintendo Paper Mario, then you dumb it down to N64 Paper Mario, and then you dumb it down once again into the sticker format. And the real kicker about Sticker Star Combat, literally no point to it, because there was no form of XP. All you got from it was coins and more stickers to replace the ones you just used. Not stronger stickers, just more stickers. Usually of like middle to low quality. And so there was like every the only like and combat wasn't fun because there was no strategy to it. It was just hit the things in front of you and that's it. And you can't use your big fancy stickers against them because you have to save those for the puzzles. Anyway, Color Splash did a lot to fix this. In Color Splash, you fill up your cards with different colored paint. You have red, blue, and yellow. You get paint by beating enemies or by smacking the environment with your hammer. Like you smack a tree and it drop, its leaves fall down and it leaves green paint that you pick up and it fills up the blue and the yellow. It's just fun, something fun like that. That's how you fill up your paint. But so when you beat an enemy, like XP. They drop like a hammer thing. And what that hammer thing does is the more you collect of them, you can store more paint in your hammer. It's so like it's still not necessary, and there's absolutely no reason you would ever
But
need
it's
to
a better,
grind.
it's not necessary, but it's a better incentive than before.
Yes, because now when I get into a combat, there's an actual incentive for me to finish it and not just immediately run away. It also, you still weren't able to choose your targeted dudes in Color Splash, but the items that you used were much, much more efficient. In Sticker Star, you would use one jump sticker, one jump sticker, one jump sticker. And Color Splash, you just whoop, three hammer, pow, 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 and then you continue on. Like combat would last like two, maybe three rounds. And like Color Splash, had the same fucking ballin' visual design. Then it had really, really wet, really witty humor. And like it was quirky. It had some interesting puzzles that. And they listened for the most part. Like they just listened. Like people are like, "Hey, we really fucking hate this. Everything about Sticker Star sucks except for everything that's not gameplay." And so like, okay, you want all right? Here's what you do. Like when you beat an enemy, sometimes you'll get their card. You use that card. They show up as a temporary partner. I beat a Spiny and I used his card. I filled it up with a red, red paint. He joined me. He did a little spin attack and then hit the wall and bounced back to me. Because they also like combat all takes place exactly where you fought the enemy. Instead of like you don't go to like a generic battle arena, you go like you just fight right where you were. It's a slightly modified. It's like for each room, there's a there's a specific combat version of it that you go to fight in. But Color Splash is a lot of fun. They fixed a lot of their mistakes. So if they ever do another one, I hope that they'll just be like, hey, let's just do like what Thousand Year Door did, but like Because, like, imagine this, Alex.
But,
imagine,
like, a little bit better.
Yeah, imagine, like, an actual Paper Mario game with the art style of Sticker Star and Color Splash. It would be fucking awesome. Anyway, that's me ranting about Paper Mario for 20 minutes.
All right, any closing statements?
Paper Mario is my favorite game. Buy Undertale for the PS4. Child of Light's a great game. You should have bought it during the Steam sale. Nora is best girl. She's really good. Put all your good oculi on her. That's about it.
Okay, Chrono Cross is really good but dated. You guys should try it out. Probably emulator to play the PS3 re-release for it. Life happens. Background noise is inevitable, I guess. And Nintendo RPG is the dumbest title ever. Kill yourself, Tad.
All right. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's a work in progress. I'll call it action RPG. No shit. That's Kingdom Hearts. Okay. All right. How about this one? Fun RPG. Anyway, so we'll go ahead and do our plugs here at the end. You can find the podcast on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. We also have a Discord, and I do a Dungeons & Dragons podcast called Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast. And I host both Revival, well, me and my friend Dan host Revival, and Let Me Tell You About, you know, they're all under the same brand. You know, you can find them both on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and soon Stitcher. I should get that up sometime this week. I should start getting them up there. There's also a Patreon, and I want to give a quick shout-out to Toteke and Cody Wendt, who are some new higher-tier backers. I want to thank all the Patreon people for helping me afford all these fancy-schmancy microphones and all this good stuff. Audio equipment's really expensive. You know, it ain't cheap. And Alex, I will be getting you your stupid microphone soon.
Sick.
Anyway, that'll do it for this week. So we'll see you guys 7 days from now on Wednesday. Definitely Wednesday. Just like when this episode came out on Wednesday.